Listen and enjoy the Deep Red Radio Pod.
Hallo liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, hier ist der Max mit einem Interview mit Regisseur Maika Gallo. Der hat den Film Itzy Bitsy inszeniert und dieser wiederum lief auf dem diesjährigen Hardline Film Festival, wo auch ich die Chance hatte, mit Maika während des Medientags zu sprechen. Wir haben ein kurzes und bündiges Interview aufgenommen und besprechen so alles, was man so grob fragen konnte zur Produktion, ohne jetzt die Zeit gehabt zu haben, zu tief einzusteigen. Das holen wir vielleicht an anderer Stelle auch nochmal nach, weil es sehr viele interessante Punkte gibt, die man zu seinem ersten Spielfilm noch weitergehend erörtern könnte. An das Kinderlied angelehnt, Itzy Bitsy, geht es hier natürlich um Spinnen oder in dem Fall eigentlich um eine Spinne. Und der Maika Gallo hat damit ein Creature-Feature der klassischen Sorte geschaffen, indem er nämlich nicht irgendein CGI-Monster, was minder schlecht getrickst ist, über die Leinwand jagt, à la Mike Mendez mit Big Ass Spider, sondern indem er schön oldschool mit vielen befreundeten Filmemachern, Effekt-Creatoren dort ein Monster erschaffen hat, im klassischen Sinne zum Anfassen, was na, natürlich auch eine gewisse Gefahr ausstrahlt, was ja auch so eine Spinne tun sollte, um beim Zuschauer irgendwas auszulösen. Er hat versucht, mit dem Film auch eine Hintergrundgeschichte und eine Tiefe seinen Personen zu verleihen und das mit der Spinnthematik zu verknüpfen, um auch wirklich klarzumachen hier beim Publikum, er hat die Geschichte ernst gemeint, und macht sich jetzt eigentlich nicht über das Genre lustig. Also das war jetzt irgendwie keine verhohene Piepelung, was meiner Meinung nach sehr wichtig ist, dass ein Regisseur serious an die Sache rangeht. Der Film hat einen sehr hochwertigen Look, was aber jetzt keine große Besonderheit ist, denn mit der ehemaligen Post-Production-Firma, die er hatte mit vielen Freunden und auch schon für viele kleinere und große Produktionen unterwegs gewesen ist, hat er sich genau das zur Zielsetzung gemacht, nämlich auch kleineren Filmen, die nicht so ein großes Budget haben, ein gewisses Kino-Feeling in den Bildern zu verleihen und diese nachzubearbeiten. Man muss an der Stelle noch sagen, dass wir in dem Kino wahrscheinlich mit der Kopie, würde man so schön sagen, etwas zu wenig gesehen hat, als ursprünglich beabsichtigt gewesen ist. Hinten raus war der Film, so wie wir vorgeführt bekommen haben, doch recht dunkel. Und das ist eigentlich gar nicht so gedacht und wäre aber auch schade drum, weil genau dort man ja dann die ganzen schönen und klassisch getricksten Spinneneffekte gar nicht so sieht. Wo man es aber direkt sehen wird, ist bei der vermutlich baldigen Heimkinoauswertung auch hier in Deutschland, die bei so einem hochwertigen Produkt eigentlich nicht auf sich warten lassen sollte. Viel Spaß also beim Reinhören und an der Stelle nochmal vielen Dank an Regisseur Maika Gallo. Thanks Maika for having us und ab geht's Post. Dear listeners, this is Max here from Cannes Film Festival. I'm here with the director Mike Mendez and we are talking about his movie Badass Spider. Just kidding. We are of course here at the Hardline Film Festival. Next to me is sitting Maika Gallo and we are talking about a real spider movie, Itzy Bitsy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Max.
And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Why is Itzy Bitsy a spider movie and not an ant, a snake, a rat, a tick, or a cockroach movie? Why spiders?
Yeah, it was something that I always had a fascination with, or a fear and fascination with, since I was a young boy. And I used to pray at night to protect my family, number one. And then number two was that I would like spiders to not bite my feet in the middle of the night. So it's something I've always been interested in and afraid of myself. And I think a lot of other people share that fear. It's something about spiders that's built into our DNA.
So was the song a part of your childhood? Did your parents sing it to you?
No, not in particular, but it was something that I thought had a good association, that it would be fun to play with in a movie to kind of take a nursery rhyme and pervert it a little bit, but also it would be catchy. And I think in this day and age, part of getting people to see a movie is to have something that they can relate to immediately. Otherwise, it's a real uphill battle to market a movie and get it out there. So I thought it would help.
Yeah. Can you give the audience a short introduction in your career before making Itsy Bitsy?
Sure. Yeah. So I went to USC film school. I actually didn't get into the film school coming in, but I hustled and figured out what I needed to do to get in once I was at USC. Then once I graduated from there, I worked on a lot of indie movies on the crew side, doing everything from camera work to PA to assistant director. And then when I made it wasn't my first short film, but my first serious effort that was based on another feature screenplay I wrote, I met someone named Tyler Hawes. And he worked with me on this film as well. And we formed a company together doing visual effects, color correction, and mastering. And we worked on about 40 feature films and built a brand called Lit Post, where we mainly worked on indie movies. And our goal was to make them as beautiful as we could.
It started with Hatchet, am I correct?
Yeah. Essentially, our you know, the brand we built together started with Hatchet. And Corey Neal, who was the producer of Hatchet, was also a producer on Itsy Bitsy. So
on Itsy Bitsy, you have been the writer, director, editor, jack of all trades at the movie.
I definitely was a jack of all trades. I had a lot of collaborators. Technically, I didn't edit, but I worked with, you know, editors on the film. Yeah. And I worked with other writers on the film. But it is that thing of indie movies where you have to carry the ball all the way to the finish line. No one else is going to do it.
What do you like most of these parts, making a movie?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
I like being on set. There's something about the energy of being on set. It kind of has a magic, and you can see things. It's very satisfying because you see things happen right before your eyes. It's immediate. There's an immediate satisfaction that you don't get in the writing process and you don't get in the post-production process. Things kind of drag on and take a long time. But I like that energy, and I feel comfortable. Once I'm on set, if I'm directing on set, I have this irrational belief that everything's going to be fine, and things tend to work out for me.
There are already a lot of spider movies existing. Mm-hmm. Well, which ones inspired you the most for your own spider vision?
You know, it was, I would say what inspired me about looking at the other spider movies is what they weren't doing. Yeah. So, you know, I liked aspects of arachnophobia where it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know, it gives me a certain feeling watching the spiders, but I didn't like the character drama as much in that particular movie. I wanted to do a different type of more serious character drama with it. And then I also didn't want to make a kaiju movie. I didn't want to make a giant spider lumbering beast movie. I wanted to make a movie that the spider was an exact size that was just large enough you could see those horrifying details, almost as if you were looking at a spider under a magnifying glass, and small enough that it could behave the way a spider would and hide under things and be reclusive and things like that. And so that's what inspired me. I would say that other creature films such as Cue the Winged Serpent or Of Unknown Origin, movies where there's a link psychically and story-wise between the creature and the main character, that was the type of movie that we aspired to make.
Oh, how was the decision progress to have the spider, how it was, old school effects mostly, mm-hmm. versus using CGI, like Mike Mendez used a lot of CGI for his big ass spider. That's not that kind of movie I want to see. I like the traditional creature effects.
Yeah, yeah.
How was the process in pre-production to think about it, to creating your monster?
I mean, practical effects is a lot of fun for me. Again, you have that immediacy of being able to see how something's working, whereas visual effects takes a lot more time, especially to get it to a realistic place. And I don't know if you ever truly get there because it's essentially a cartoon when you're using computer generated effects. And so I wanted to start with something real, that had a physical reality. And then if there was anything we couldn't do, we would augment from there. But starting practically, I think just gives you a better result in my opinion.
Yeah, the other stars are two children. Mm-hmm. And yeah, where is the saying? It's difficult to work with children and with animals. Uh-huh. So the spider was yours, so no problem. But yeah. How was Itsy Bitsy working with the very young actress and the boy? Was it easy, or what's the difficulties working with?
Working with kids is, I would say, if you've cast the right ones, easier than adults because they don't have all these anxieties and things they've built up over the years. The adults need a lot more attention than the kids do. The kids just need to feel safe. And the challenge with kids is the time. And so I think our little girl, we had maybe 6 hours out of a shooting day. The boy, we had maybe 8 hours out of a shooting day total, including makeup and everything. And so it creates a challenge when you're also combining practical effects, because then you need time for that and you have to sort that out. So it becomes a production challenge of figuring out all the puzzle pieces and how they all fit together into a 12-hour day in the limited time that you have in an indie movie.
Speaking about the adult actors, famous faces in the movie, Bruce Davidson and Dennis Crosby.
Yeah.
How got you them involved to the project?
With Bruce, there was an actor who was in The Exorcist. She played Pazuzu in The Exorcist, Eileen Dietz. And Eileen, through someone else involved in the production, Lisa Vaz, I met Eileen, who read the script and stood up for the movie. She had the same manager as Bruce, this someone named Chris Rowe. And I don't think Chris would have read it if it wasn't for her saying, "Look, I babysit your kids. You're going to read this." And he read it, got me in contact with Bruce, and that's how that happened. And probably because Bruce was involved, it piqued the interest of other people. And Denise came in and read for the part. I think she also really responded to the material. And there was something personal for her about this movie. She really believed in the part she was playing, and we were lucky to have her as well.
Yeah, it was nice to see her. Interesting fact, Benedict spotted it. She's the sheriff in the movie.
Yeah.
May it be that the sheriff star is changing during the shooting?
It does change during the film. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's an indie movie, and it's one of those things you hope most people don't notice. Not everyone has as keen of an eye as Benedict to catch me. But yeah, we only had one sheriff star or two, I think, so.
You sold your production company, you told us.
I sold the post-production company, took that money and put it into this movie.
Okay.
And so this was kind of everything for me, was making sure that this movie turned out well and we got what we needed for it and stuff like that.
How is the distribution so far? Did you already sold it to a lot of countries, the rights? Are you into this progress too? Or
We have U.S. distribution via Shout Factory, and then we have a company called Q Media Group, and they're releasing it themselves in England, and then they're selling the rights in the other various territories.
Okay, so what will be next for you as a director? Another project to come? Can you tell the audience already a little bit? New films from Mika Gallo?
Well, there's
part
really,
two? No.
There could be a part two. It really depends. And I think for me, what I've learned on this project is I want to collaborate with other people, with a producer, with a production company, with a distributor, you know, someone who has a direction that they want to go or who might be interested in one of my projects, and we can work together to make something, because it just it takes a village of people to make a good movie, and so I don't want to carry it all on my own back next time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Micah, for having us, and enjoy the rest of the festival. And we hope we can talk again and see you again, maybe with your next movie here at Hotline.
Yeah, thanks, year. Max. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.